This is Yusuf.
This is
In-Flight Entertainment for the kiddies. What's up, everybody? I hope, I guess school or in-house schooling is in full swing and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's like a foreign concept to me in general because we don't have kids, but we sure, you know. Yeah.
Right. And because we recognize that other people do have children, and it is the beginning of school, we are dedicating the month of September to child-friendly movies, and not my version of child-friendly movies. We're really doing G and PG rated movies.
Yes. Yes. That don't have cursing.
Right. Yes. 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 Yeah,
so Genoa would know for sure that this is not an R rated movie. So what are we doing this Thursday?
We are doing the 1997 Disney movie Hercules.
Hercules, Hercules.
Which is a mashup of both Roman and Greek mythology, because Hercules is a Roman character. But in the animated series, his parents are Zeus and Hera, which are Greek characters. So Disney just did a full-on mashup of all the Roman Greek mythology to really mess with our brains here. Mm-hmm.
But the truth is what?
Hercules is Roman. Come on. His parents should have been Jupiter and Juno.
And
but I guess Zeus and Hera are more popular. Also, Zeus is very rapey in all of the like Greek mythology. And I recognize they couldn't do that because it's a children's story. But I mean, come on. He goes around changing his bodies into different animal shapes and raping women. I feel like by putting Zeus and Hera as Hercules' parents in this, they're really distorting the mythology beyond the fact that they're combining Roman and Greek mythology. But that's just my sidebar. What distracted me during the cartoon.
And there you have it. You guys getting a Genoa tidbit courtesy of In-Flight Entertainment.
Right.
Oh goodness. Yeah, so I'm sure Disney wanted to omit the creepy element of Zeus for the sake of family entertainment. So let's just go with that one.
Right.
All right. So,
but the thing, like, if kids ever go and decide to read all of the Greek mythology, which I highly encourage the kids to do, because there are some amazing stories.
Any you suggest?
For Zeus to be stepping out on his wife Hera and sleeping with other people that aren't necessarily consenting. I ain't ready.
So any specific like stories you would start like them off with, like kind of stepping stones within, you know?
Oh, that's a much bigger question I'm not prepared to answer today.
All right. She need to get more poor man's hurricanes in her, then she'll really be on her. She'll really give you chapters. But okay, so this film was released June 13th, 1997. So in 1997, what we were watching from 5 to 1, some football on Monday night, Friends.
Number 60 minutes.
Nope, Friends. Veronica's Closet. Man, a lot of people watch Veronica's Closet. Was number 3.
I feel like that's come up in a couple times when we've reviewed things from 97.
Yeah.
And both you and I are always like, Veronica's Closet.
Like, man, that was a popular show. And you know the crazy thing? Like, no cable, like stations that like do kind of reruns of like old shows don't show Veronica's Closet for some reason. And it clearly it was a popular show in its time. I mean, I don't know, which is weird. So Clooney and the Boys ER number two, and Seinfeld was holding down number one. Okay, this is 1997. What song? This is June 97.
I have to say, in June 97, I was definitely in my country phase. So I have no idea what was popular.
Okay. It's a one hit wonder, and they were white boys. Young white boys.
No idea. I would say Spice Girls, but they're not boys.
Right, exactly. No idea. No. Hanson.
Oh, I've seen them in concert. They actually put on a pretty good show.
Oh, really? Like Grown Up Hanson or like back in the day Hanson?
I saw them in 2010. So
and they were growing up at that point. Yeah. They were growing up. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, was the number one song.
I mean, they sang that song in concert, and they still put on a pretty good show.
Hey, you know, they're artists, whatever. You know, like, they do the damn thing, you know? Their music, yeah, the musicians. I mean,
definitely not in, like, I would say they fall in, like, the middle of all the concerts I've ever seen, not in the bottom or the top, but, you know, they do good.
Yeah.
They're entertaining.
Right. I mean, yeah, if you can give me a good live show, even if I don't listen to you, I give you props. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the crazy thing is, okay, to your point, like, I, like, at the Greek, it was Pat Benatar and Melissa Etheridge, right? So Melissa Etheridge opened for Pat. Like, you know, I know. I only think I know Melissa Etheridge was like Come Through My Window, like that song. Like, I don't, that's the only song I know of her. But she was the opener and like she rocked it. I mean, she was on Prince mode. She got on the piano, she got on like the drums, she got on the bass, she got on the guitar, she got on the tambourine. She was everywhere and she just like has so much energy on stage. And then Pat Benatar, Pat was okay, but she didn't bring it like Melissa brought it. So that just goes to show. It's like, hey, if you give me a good show, I don't like, hey, I give you props, you know? So and that's kind of like my story.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, so I didn't see, I think it's Motorhead perform, but there was an opening band from Motorhead called Rainwolf. Mm-hmm. And I saw Rainwolf like the night after he opened for Motorhead, and everyone in the audience was there because they had seen him open the night before. And they're like, he was so fucking amazing. We had to come see him again.
Wow.
And so I was expecting to be there with like 10 people. And all of a sudden it was this packed audience of like leather clad biker type people. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? and I talked to them, and so they said that they had to see him again because he was so amazing. So yeah, I mean, if you put on a good show and you connect with your audience, you know, that's powerful.
Exactly, because it's all about like giving and receiving energy, like on stage and to the crowd, and like feeding off of it and giving it back. You know, it's just yeah, it's so organic. It's like if you. It's like the symbiosis. It's just like this real time thing of like giving and receiving. And it's, if it's just so much energy in that, you just get caught up in the moment. It's like, wow, this artist really brought it. I was so engaged when this person was on stage. It was so magnetic, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I have to, that is what I'm missing in quarantine is that live music, give and take.
Yes. Yeah. And send my ass in a movie theater and watching the movie. Me also more so for me, I'd go just watch art, like drinking whiskey, watching movies in the dome. I miss it.
One of these days we will be back there. But for today,
yes,
our reviewing movies for the kids and the parents. And today we're going to explore the son of Zeus and Hera, Hercules.
So for all the
like literature historians out there, don't get pissed off by the story. Just dive into the entertainment that is Hercules.
Yeah, just go with it. It's one of those suspension of disbelief. It's an animated movie. Like, yeah. Come on. Don't be critical about a freaking animated movie. So
I can be, but try not to be.
No, don't be. You don't need critical, especially like historical accuracies about, you know, Hercules in animated form. Like, shut up. Just watch the movie. So who's the voice talents in this one?
Well, we have Tate Donovan. Actually, three people play Hercules. We have Tate Donovan plays the older Hercules, Josh Keaton plays young, and then we have Roger Bart, who actually does the singing for Hercules.
Okay.
We have Danny DeVito, who plays a half human, half goat satyr thing.
Feel. That's funny.
James Woods plays Hades, or the god of hell. Mm-hmm. Susan Egan plays Meg. In the Hercules stories, that would have been Megan. Mm-hmm. But this is Meg.
Meg, yeah. And
a couple other people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah, there's Pain and Panic. You know, like these two little creatures that cause mischief throughout the movie. Uh-huh. And Pain is played by Bobcat Goldthwait. Yes. And Panic is played by Matt Fuhrer.
Not Fuhrer, but Bobcat. my 80s people would know from the Police Academy movies. pretty much just Police Academy. That's all.
Yeah. And honestly, like when I was watching this movie, the only two voices I recognized were Danny DeVito and Bobcat Goldthwait.
Not James Woods?
So I did not recognize James Woods. No. Oh, so. Wow. Earlier in the week when we reviewed The Emperor's New Clothing or New Groove, I was distracted by all the voices. In this, I could actually dive into the movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like Danny DeVito was very well cast as the satyr.
Yes.
Sort of this sex-crazed, goal-oriented type of thing.
All right.
Bobcat Goldthwait as a little mischievous demon. Totally fit.
Yes. Yeah. And James Woods, Hades. And I love how James Woods played Hades. It's kind of like this willing dealing used car salesman approach to Hades. That was
apparently that's one of his favorite characters of all time.
Yeah.
And so anytime Disney's like, hey, we need some Hades voice, James Woods is like, yes, I am here.
Yeah, he is pretty hilarious. you know, how he just kind of hustles. He's like, I said, he's like a used car salesman hustler, you know, he hustles Hercules into like the deal. What was it like the deal to.
In order to save Meg, he has to give up his immortality.
Yes.
And
I love the dynamic between, you know, Phil and Hercules, because Phil is like the Mickey character from Rocky. You know, he's like the coach, you know, to Hercules. You know, he's like, I train better people than you. You don't got what it takes. Right. You're a bum, Rock.
Like Achilles. I trained Achilles. He was another Roman god.
Right.
Wait, no, he was a Greek god.
Right.
And then like the heel, because people like kind of like taunt him all the time about the heel. With a funny line through the village, like, yeah, Phil, yeah, how's that heel going?
For all the people that don't know out there, Achilles, he was dipped in like a river to be made immortal. But when he was dipped in the river, his mother held onto the tendon at the back of your heel, which is now called the Achilles tendon. Mm-hmm. And so during the Trojan War, he was actually killed because someone shot an arrow that hit his Achilles, that tendon, and he died that way.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And so,
I trained Achilles and he still died.
Yes. Like, dang it. Then we have Meg. Okay. So
Meg?
Yeah.
Meg is in this story. Mm-hmm. Meg is in the employment of Hades, and in order for her to gain her freedom, she has to go out there and do evil things for him. And her new evil thing is to help Hades take down Hercules. So he's been dead set on taking down Hercules ever since he was born to Zeus and Hera. Mm-hmm. Because he was like the star child, and Hades like, no one is better than me. I'm jealous. I'm going to take them down. And so he enlists Meg to help foil Hercules. Mm-hmm. And so she ends up falling for Hercules.
Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't, you know?
I mean, he's big, strong, and strapping. Yes. Yeah,
and he have his own merchandise, which is really hilarious throughout the whole movie. It's like people are wearing Air Herc sandals. I'm like, this is so hilarious. And it had like the drinking cups or Hercules like face on it, like merchandise. It's like the merchandising of Hercules. Right. It's
very much like Disney making fun of Disney, which was fantastic.
Yes.
And also sort of making fun of Nike or any of like the big sports brands that I feel like in 90s,
Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Earlier than 97.
Yeah, that was like late 80s. Air Jordans, they call them Air Hercs. That was Hercules' brand of sandals.
Making fun of like all the sports things that were partnering with big athletes and also making fun of Disney, which was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Disney kind of had a sense of humor about themselves. Kind of poking fun at themselves, which is pretty fun.
This also came out a couple years after, The Little Mermaid and I think Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Which was using, like, the hardcore animation, digital animation. And this went back to more of the traditional drawing. So Beauty and the Beast did the 3D animation type things.
Right.
But this went back to the original. It felt like more sketchy.
Yeah.
Like the original Disney stories.
Yeah, original 2D. Yeah. Yeah. And it showed, it was very, it felt very old school, like the look of it. And we have to mention, the muse, the singing sisters. My song narrates, like, kind of give you the overview of the story here and there.
You're the best part of the fucking movie. Sorry for the profanity, because we're rated G right now. But, oh my God, the singing sisters, yes! Like, the soul sisters.
And that
chills every time they came on screen, singing.
Yeah. And that's the gospel truth. I don't know exactly who they were, but did you know that Disney was considering having the Spice Girls be the muse, like singing?
I'm so glad you didn't.
Yes, thank God.
I think I got to sing. Those women were amazing.
Yeah, no, you could tell they plucked them from the church. Like, hey, we want you guys to sing.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because, of course, I'm going to find it. I mean, besides the whole Roman-Greek combination of things, I had an issue with Hercules being very whitewashed because let's consider where Greek or Roman is. It is sort of the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. I feel like he should have been olive skin and dark hair. Hercules should not be blonde. That's like everyone making Jesus white. Give them some of their, like, recognize where they are.
Wait a minute. Hold on, General. So you telling me that Brad Pitt shouldn't have been Achilles?
No.
How dare you? No, I totally get what you're saying. Yes. I agree.
But give him a little bit of a tan.
Yeah. He's supposed to be olive. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, he's supposed to be olive, you know, maybe like more coarse hair. Yes.
Stop whitewashing everything. Come on, people.
Yeah, well, you know, this is like late 90s, early 2000s Disney. So, you know, they had to appeal to the global market and, you know.
The white global market. Yes. Agreed.
Yes.
Which I felt like their way of getting like sort of around that was having the Soul Sisters tell the story. So
yes,
I really liked how they animated the singers and incorporating how they move the story forward.
Yeah.
By having women sing and tell the story.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yes. And that's the gospel truth. And that's how, like, when they end their song, they say, and that's the gospel truth, which is pretty cool. So, I mean, throughout like Hercules adventures, you know, we get Zeus. Rip Torn was an awesome. Okay. I would say I had no issue with Rip Torn being Zeus because I love the way voice wise he played Zeus so big. He's like, Hades, how you doing? How's everything down there? Oh yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, I was like, he just played Zeus like so like big, you know, and very like,
yeah.
like kind of carefree, you know, because he's a god, like a god's supposed to kind of like, hey, I'm a god, I'm carefree, whatever. Why should I like be uptight? I'm a god.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the voices were unlike the Emperor's New Groove. I didn't have too much of the issue with the voices here. I don't know how people spoke in ancient Greek Roman times, so it wasn't as distracting to me as what I felt maybe an Incan accent might sound like.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so I think so. Meg had a change of heart for suckering Hercules into that deal. And I think her and Phil, because actually Phil was trying to warn Hercules, like, hey, like, get like, she's no good. Get away from her. You know, I got a feeling about her. Like, she's not good. But Hercules didn't care. He was all like love struck and all that. And, you know, and Meg seen that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Meg. So Meg is the Grinch that her heart grew bigger, similar to the Cusco and the Emperor's New Groove. His heart grew bigger, or the Grinch that stole Christmas. And, you know, it's always that redemption character that we need to have in these types of stories.
Right.
And so that is Meg recognizing that she doesn't have to just do what she's told. She can be her own woman, her own person.
Yeah, and
she does have a
heart. Exactly. Like, you know, she turns into a voice of good. And so that propels Hercules to overthrow Hades. You know, Zeus is happy. But okay, Zeus is like, okay, you can come, with us. But Hercules, you know, want to be with Meg, and Meg's a human, right? And so he's like, hey, you know, I know going up there is great, but I belong down here, you know, with the person I love. So, and, you know, Zeus is like, all right, I feel you. Okay, son, you know, we'll watch you. So
it is the very, like, the final act of Hercules is a little bit of Orpheus, who is a character who goes down to hell to save the woman he loves, and he is allowed to take the woman back as long as when he's walking out of hell he doesn't look back. Right. And so that they sort of steal from that mythology a little bit.
Is that like is that Dante's Inferno?
I think Dante's Inferno steals from that.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay. All right.
But yeah. So like Hercules, the Disney movie, steals from a number of different Greek mythologies. Yes.
Yes. Totally. Yeah. And so, yeah. So Hercules, you know, is on Earth, is living his best life with Meg. And, you know, and Phil has got his rep back as being the all-time great hero creator, if you will. So now he got his respect back. So it's like everyone's arc is achieved at the end. That's what all animated Disney movies, you know.
Yeah, everyone gets to go to Olympus. Yay!
Cue the Soul Sisters doing their closing out the movie with their angelic singing.
I mean, every time they came on, I got goosebumps. So I think this was the first time I'd ever watched it through the entire time. For some reason, I had only ever watched like the first 10 minutes where Hercules is a teenager and sort of messing everything up in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first time I'd seen it all the way through. And the Soul Sisters, their voices just full on goosebumps every time they sang.
Yeah. And I love like, I think the midpoint of the movie, like when he started winning, you know, they like, it goes into one section of a song, and then it just go full church. They just kind of clap. We'll put the gladiator Hercules. I'm like, oh, they go to church in this movie. What? Go ahead, girls. Shoot, pass the collection plates around. Shoot, like they go to church on y'all. I'm really hats off to Disney for really just kind of just letting that song just go. I mean, it was like, it kind of reminded me of Blues Brothers with James Brown in the church. And like,
yeah,
you know, do you see the light? And everybody just started going crazy and going down the aisle and dancing and like backflipping and stuff. It's like kind of like the same energy with that song. I was like, right on, Disney. Like, you guys have some moments where I give you guys props in the animated films. This is definitely one of them.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. All right. So, what was the rating system again? Because you
sit on the sofa and watch it with your kids. Help your kids with doing distance learning, or go play in the park and catch COVID.
Yes.
So for me, this is definitely sit on the sofa and watch it with the kids. It's super entertaining. I mean, I'm nerdy and was getting annoyed with the like mixing of the Greek and Roman mythology, but I'm probably like the 1% that's going to notice that. So just have fun with the movie. Enjoy the music.
Yeah.
The storytelling. It's fun.
Yeah.
Don't dive into the whole like Meg, Megan, Hercules, Zeus, Hera, all of that storytelling. Just enjoy the movie.
Yeah. Way too grown up to get into that.
But this is a fantastic opportunity to use Hercules Disney to then get your kids into reading stories that are Roman and Greek mythology, because there are amazing stories that they can read and use as life lessons.
Yes. I will give, you know, I echo that sentiment. Definitely watch with your kids. You know, I think the time, well, I mean, Disney animated films, especially the 2D animated films, like, I think what worked really well with the old school Disney animated films is like the pacing was really tight. It never felt like a scene dragged. It's like they just knew how to just hit these points. Then it goes to the musical numbers and it goes to like the plot escalation. Then it's just like, I'm kind of missed that with Disney animation, like, you know, especially the 2D animation, because they just knew like the pacing and the energy of their animated films back in the day was just so solid to the point. It was like an in and out. It was like in, out, you're done. And within, in the middle of all of that was just good music, good story arcs, life lessons, you know, nice sequences. So, yeah, definitely like sit down, watch it.
When you're drawing everything in 2D, you kind of have to be tight because it takes so long to draw everything.
Exactly. They're like, yeah, we don't have time to be waiting on some bullshit scenes. We need to like, we need to get this done. Yeah. But yeah, definitely.
And I have, like, I know Meg isn't considered like an evil villain, but Meg has some fantastic one-liners in the movie.
Yeah.
That is totally worth watching just for those things.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, agreed. I mean, yeah, all the characters were fun and engaging and, you know, just good to watch. So, yeah, Disney Plus. I mean, the movies that we're reviewing, definitely you can watch on Disney Plus. Click it, watch it, enjoy it. If you have a Disney Plus subscription, if not, you can rent it, I guess, digitally. Or tell your parents to dig up the old DVD that they may have in the attic or the basement and watch it. Yeah.
I have to. Meg's favorite line of mine is, sometimes it's better to be alone. It's an educating for all kids. Don't go down an unhealthy relationship. It's sometimes it's better to be alone.
Now we have two general tidbits in one episode. Wow.
I mean, really, last week you asked me if I had favorite Disney movies. I think Hercules has actually moved up into one of my beyond the Roman Greek mixing and moved up to one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yay! All right. I
like Meg. I mean, she's a no-nonsense. Yeah, she's awesome.
Cool. See, going through all of the revisiting the Disney movies, we're, you know, rearranging the ranks of our, you know, favorite films. So this is good. This is good for us. This is good for in-flight entertainment. I mean, that's
for Meg is, I'm a big tough girl. I tie my own sandals and everything. I mean, she has some fantastic lines.
Yeah, and she has some awesome hair. I mean, on top of that.
And Hades has good lines also. I mean, the dialogue in the movie is fantastic. So, yes, everyone should watch this with their kids.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And
I'm surprised that when this movie came out, it didn't get more... I was a drunk college kid when this movie came out, but I feel like this movie needs more attention.
Totally. Agreed. I'm sure it did. I'm sure it, you know, made its money at the box office, but yeah, you're right. It's like in the rankings of Disney films, you don't hear anyone mention this movie like at all. Yeah. So like I said, it's definitely in my honorable mentions, like bars. Animated Disney films, definitely. So yeah, definitely watch it, guys. Revisit it. Let's talk about it. Let's get it back into the public consciousness of Disney animated films. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. There you have it, guys. So thanks for listening, and hope everyone stay safe, keep your distancing, and
wear your mask.
Yes. Hey.